I think the one of the biggest parts of that is recruiting a population that that wants to invest in the school.
Yeah.
And not recruiting a population of student athletes that want to kind of do their own thing and create their own culture, but really recruiting a population of student athletes, basketball players, which is hard because basketball players are kind of different sometimes, but that want to be here and that want to invest in the campus and invest in the student body.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the official athletic podcast, In the Nest. I'm your host, Shane Douglas. I'm usually a co-host here with Matthew Thomason, but Thomason is not here. We kicked him out for a superior guest.
Wow.
Well, you are.
What an honor.
Role-wise. Oh. Role-wise, you are. This is Coach Philip Parker, the head men's basketball coach and assistant...
Assistant AD.
Yeah, AD. So, welcome back to the show. Thanks, you've been on here once. You were just here a couple months ago, right?
What was it, last fall?
Last fall. So that's a couple months.
But hey, thanks for having me back.
Hey, no, we want to. We just finished up our winter sports here at Emmaus. So we kind of want to recap a little bit. We talked a little bit about women's basketball now. A little bit more about men's basketball, but the show... is familiar to your face, familiar to seeing you on the court side, I guess, in a way. Mm-hmm. But thanks for being here. We're super excited to have you back, and hopefully you can be back here more. But this show, this episode is brought to you by the Coffee Bean, of course.
Amen.
I got a Blue Lotus today.
I thought about stopping in on the way over, but didn't make it.
So what's your go-to drink?
I'm doing decaf Americanos.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to make a lifestyle change.
Okay. Do people go decaf because that is the...
It's not for the flavor.
Not for the flavor. That.
Yeah, it's for the lack of caffeine.
Okay. Do you still... decaf has...
It has some.
It has some. I think it has just some, less caffeine.
But less caffeine.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Well, make sure to go to the Coffee Bean, I guess. Get Coach Parker a decaf coffee latte Americano.
Good plug.
There it is.
Good
see?
Plug,
yeah. Everyone knows my order. Usually it's not Lotus. It's the... a chai, spice chai,
really?
Spice chai with pumpkin season. I'm basic like that. I'm basic. Either way, let's get into the show. I want to hear more about you, Coach Parker.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Can I call you Phil?
Not Phil. I gotta be older before I'm Phil.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I think somewhere in the 40s, then I can go by Phil.
Like President Phil Boom.
Yeah.
And so that's you're Philip. Philip's kind of young. It's like,
so.
It seems young.
I don't know.
It seems like. Very like enthusiastic, energetic, Philip.
That's not me, but
then Phil. Well, yeah, but it's good for the kids.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Do it for the gram.
Philip, Coach Philip Parker, Philip. Yeah. Who are you? I want to hear your story, man. I want to hear like a little bit of how you got to Emmaus, but not even just how you got to Emmaus, but how you came to know 100%. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no. So. Oh, goodness. Long story.
Yeah.
You ready for this?
I got 40 minutes. And then you walk out that door.
No, man. It really wasn't until probably closer to college that I came to know the Lord.
Really?
Grew up in a Christian home, and my dad's a pastor, and was one of those pastor's kids that, knew the things, right? You know how to act, you know what to say. We're in a really small town. And so I think even for us, it was probably more important that we... look and act the right way and for good reason, grew up in church and going to church and youth group and kids club and all those things. But definitely there was very little, if no heart change, made the prayer, you know, at 11, or something like that, I think 11, 12. Then it really wasn't until I went to college, where I was forced to study God's word and I was forced to, and I actually mean forced, to actually look at God's word and understand what it means, what it says. And that was really the first time too, that I actually had an opportunity to ask questions and to think through things.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm sure I could have had that before. I didn't want it before, but now being in a Christian school environment, being away from my family, my parents, and being away from those things, really did, changed me. And so it was kind of a crazy thing, right? I went to Calvary to play basketball, had health issues with some chronic fatigue stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that got taken away. Basketball was my idol in high school. Like I worshipped the sport. I worshipped the idea of of success in sports. I worshipped the idol of being a college athlete. Like that was my idol. And when I got to college, God was like, "You're not going to worship anybody besides me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to let you have this idol anymore." And it was so, God was so kind to me, really that first year and even ever since, obviously, yeah. of giving me people to be around me. I had built, you know, good friendships right away, which was huge, which is, you know, similar to Emmaus, like great friendships are integral
yeah.
to spiritual growth. Had several people disciple me, had a pastor disciple me. And I remember just sitting in a Panera and
Panera.
Yeah, Panera, man.
I love Panera. Panera's,
I did too. It's
I didn't start going to really Panera.
It's a dangerous place.
It is. I didn't start going until I got into a relationship, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. So the girl brought me there. That was it. So before it was just like as Panera. Yeah. But now it's like Panera.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, continue.
But no, just sitting there and having a pastor that was really influential. Let me ask questions. And mm-hmm. let me ask, like, is scripture true? Mm-hmm. Like, let me ask that. And he wouldn't say, really? You're going to ask that question? Like, he would take it seriously. And he actually awesome. Helped me think through things. And all those just combined with a lot of different things was really influential. And then at that point, seeing how God had really worked in my life, mm-hmm. even before I was surrendered to him, to really bring him to him and that point. It really is so much of my, so much of this is just the goodness and kindness of God,
yeah.
you know, saving me from so many things and obviously in the eternal sense, but even in the temporal sense of sustaining me on a path that I didn't want to be on,
yeah.
right? I wanted to go down a different path that would have been very different. But God had been really, you know, gracious to keep me from those things, and bring me along in with me kicking and screaming sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so just really looking back, you're just, you know, you're in awe of God's kindness and his sovereignty.
His goodness and everything.
And yeah, absolutely. And so, really, which is nothing I did. Right. And I think that's the thing is I didn't do anything. I didn't want it even. But God really sought me out and really worked in my life.
I love hearing that. And I see that, your story, not to pull anything away from it, but or take anything away from it, is you see it is very common. A lot of people growing mm-hmm. up in, you know, a Christian home or around the church that don't have their identity set.
100%. Yep.
And so I love hearing this. This is, you know, all glory to the Lord and what he's been able to do in your life, through Absolutely. Your life, and what he's going to, yeah. What he has in store. And that's for everyone, even the people Absolutely. Who grow up in Christian homes. You know, mm-hmm. they come to know Jesus when they're 5 or 8, and they're... Everyone's so shy to share their testimony. They're like, my life is boring. It's not.
Your life reflects
more of God's blessing
yeah.
ever than more than mine or Absolutely. Yours or whoever. So
yeah, no, it's true.
I love hearing that. True. So you went to Calvary. Did you grow up in the Kansas area?
No, from Nebraska. Go Big Red. Go Big Red. Yeah. No, grew up in the...
You can't say that around here. Especially
blue.
On Eastern...
Oh, Big Blue, too.
Okay, but, fair enough. But like,
that's a different yeah. different blue. But
so you grew up in Nebraska.
Grew up in a little town, in little cowboy town in Nebraska, yeah.
Nowhere. That's nuts. And then found your way to Calvary.
Found my way to Calvary.
How'd you get to Calvary?
So I had a sister there, actually, at the time. I had an older sister that I guess at that point she was working there. I think mm-hmm. she worked in admissions there at that time. And had some family in the area too. And so it was just kind of a familiar thing. My parents were dead set against it.
Really?
Like dead set. Why? Like it's so far away. Okay. And it was at that point it was expensive. It wasn't that expensive.
Being in Nebraska, for everyone who doesn't know, Calvary is in Kansas City.
Actually Missouri technically, but
fair enough. Well, I said Kansas City. I meant Kansas City, and I yeah. paused Kansas City, you know, like James yeah. Bond, James Bond, whatever.
good one.
Either way. And Calvary's in our circle. They're in the same conference as yeah. ours, as well as compete in the same level with NCAA. Yep. Grace. You had Grace right there in Omaha. Did you know Grace existed? Did you not want to go there? Another school in our circle.
I think I did. I wasn't good enough to play there for really? Sure. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't a great player okay. for basketball. No,
they focused a lot on sports.
They did, yeah. And it was a very different school. My parents actually my parents were actually teachers before they got called to ministry, or my dad got called to ministry full time. And actually they looked at Grace, but they didn't end up going there. So if they would have gone there, it might've been different.
Yeah.
But,
fair. So got to Calvary.
There was an option. Yeah.
Got to Calvary.
Yeah.
Started playing basketball. You got hurt.
Yeah.
Stopped playing basketball.
Yeah.
So what led you to coaching?
I've wanted to coach since, I don't know, eighth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, something like that. I just knew for some reason, at some point I started playing, I think maybe in fifth grade, I guess it was when I started playing basketball, like competitively.
Yeah.
We didn't have AU. We didn't have summer league. Like my graduating class was 11 kids.
Oh.
Didn't have anything, right? Had no travel ball.
Wait, you weren't homeschooled, were you?
I was partially homeschooled.
Partially.
I did a little bit of both.
So you homeschooled that, like, played at, like, a private school or public?
We had to play at public school. Yeah.
Small public.
The only school in the county. And for some reason, it clicked. So I just played with the public school kids, in fifth grade for our middle school.
Yeah.
We'd go play other little middle schools, that are 6 hours away, almost. And for some reason, it just clicked. And I just really enjoyed it. And I could think through it better. I was better at football, to be honest with you. I was a much better football player. But football just didn't click with me as basketball did. And I think a lot of it was the creativity behind it and the flow behind it. I just thought it was just a really incredible game.
Poetic.
So I think, I'd say artistic.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
So it just really clicked with me. And, and honestly, I was never a great player. Like, it just never, never was anything incredible.
Were you better than Matt?
In high school, maybe in high school. I think I could have been. That's the thing.
But you didn't like him. You thought he was a punk.
Well, that was maybe early discipleship stage.
Okay, fair enough. So, like,
I was still
you're being sharpened. You're still rough.
Yeah.
You're like, that receding hairline guy with the headband.
Yeah.
That's always shooting threes, and he's either on it one night or completely trash the other.
Yeah. That was.
I'm sick of him.
But
and now he's your assistant coach. Either way,
look at that. Isn't that funny?
It is kind of funny how things work out. Lord Simon.
Small world. What were we talking about?
I'm joking. No, you're talking about coaching.
Oh yeah. So I just knew, I think eighth grade, I was like, I want to coach. I want to coach in high school.
Yeah.
And so worked really hard at it. I remember dribbling a basketball it sounds silly, but I did. I like in high school, I dribbled a basketball from my house to the school every day.
Did you walk through, I guess you didn't go to school. Would you walk down like a hallway with a basketball in your hands?
I would have. Oh, yeah. Dribbling. If they would have let
you're
me dribble,
you're,
I would
you're
have.
One of those guys.
Yeah, gosh. If they would have let me, I would have.
Those students were
did
the
it
best.
Help to the extent I wish it did? No.
Okay.
Just being honest. But
I'm surprised we don't have – I'm surprised no basketball players do that here. When I was a student, we had –
I'm kind of glad they don't.
Yeah, me too.
I think it'd be a little weird.
It would. I mean, it's just like – it's – we did have some that carried tennis balls around, and they would bounce those.
Do that too.
So I actually did that. I wasn't even a basketball player. Really? I just find it fun. I want to bounce a ball, bounce off the walls. Thought it looked cool. Heck yeah.
Could you do it? Could you bounce it and catch it?
Yeah, easily.
Really? Okay.
What do you mean bounce it and catch it?
Good job, man.
Hey, I might not be playing intramurals right now. I'm too busy.
I'm not either.
Okay? But I'm a baller at heart. Ask anyone. Okay, thank you. You guys see me on the court.
I would love to.
Or on the pitch, wherever.
Oh, the pitch, too.
Everywhere.
Wow.
I can do anything. Except for, single sports, like tennis or ping pong. I can't do that. Either way. So, coach, everyone gets into a lot. You really see a lot of people who are athletes in high school, good athletes or not, that want to go into coaching. And, I mean, a lot of times people, like, their careers don't take off, they get hurt, and they go into coaching. Mm-hmm. What do you feel like your story is a little different, or how did you kind of find that path as well?
Yeah. Really the path was, all my high school career was I know I want to coach high school basketball and I want to teach.
Yeah.
And that was it. And that was even my first 3.5 years of college was that's what I'm going to do. And that really had never changed. Like I never thought that was different. I had some really good coaches in high school that like I wanted to kind of be like in a sense and learned a lot from them. I had my basketball coach in high school was I played for two, but I think that guy that was maybe my last 2 years of high school.
Yeah.
I just sit in his, he was the computer teacher. And so we just sit in his classroom I was the only kid in the class. Oh. And we just talked basketball.
Oh, that's fun.
And we talked through things, and he was trying to put in offense, and I just asked questions, he helped me a ton. But once I got to Calvary and went through 3.5 years of teacher education, mm-hmm. For social studies, and I just thought that was what I was going to do. I don't even know what it was. You know what it was? We were in Georgia.
Okay.
We were in the same, I'm actually going there this weekend. Same place.
Really?
Which is funny.
What was in Georgia?
We were playing some games. Calvary playing some games in Georgia.
Really? Calvary went that far?
Yeah, we did. It was an incredible trip. I loved it so much.
All right.
And I had a friend, still great friend.
Yeah.
Incredible friend. I think what it was is he sat in front of me and said, if you don't want to teach, why are you doing it?
Fair.
Because at that point I'd already pivoted from, I think I want to teach to like, I've been in some classrooms, I've done this stuff, I've done lesson planning, and I hate all of it.
Yeah.
it was terrible, you know.
And you were like a junior, right?
I was a junior at that point. And I think he sat down and he's like, why are you doing it then? And I was like, I guess I don't have to,
you know?
And so that was like another huge pivot point in my life that I actually got to use that friend to really like transform my path at that point. And so talked to a bunch of people and had, you know, at that point had still, you know, a good pastor and, some really wise people around me. And they're all like, God has given you a passion to coach, mm-hmm. and it's not to teach in a classroom. Mm-hmm. And I think one person in particular was really on that point of like, I think God has gifted you and given you a passion to coach and disciple, do it. Right, you have to do it, essentially, is I think what they said. And so I was like, then I have to do it. And so at that point, almost my fourth year of college, I switched to a source management degree, which I didn't really need to, but that was the best option to graduate in a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
And really started focusing on growing my coaching skill set and growing my network and growing those things.
Yeah.
To be prepared to coach. At that point, I'd been so as a sophomore, I started as a student assistant coach at Calvary. Okay. And so I worked under two different guys, and that was really, really impactful for me. Might have been better if I could have played, you know, technically,
yeah.
You know, if I wanted to grow in some other areas, but that just wasn't, I couldn't do it. I had to quit. And so God really just provided an opportunity to sit on the bench with a coaching perspective for, you know, 4 years, I think, as a student assistant. And then my last year there as the head assistant. I worked for some great people. Learned a lot from the coach that was there for the first 2 years, and then I learned a ton from Coach Sanders.
Right? Yeah.
He really mentored me a ton and invested in me a lot. And they're still, him and his wife, April, are still super impactful to us. And we talk all the time, and but really God had used him and God had brought him in at a point that was good for everybody, right? But like, even for me, just seeing how God brought him in at that certain time because I needed more perspective and I needed more experience. And it wasn't for me. God didn't bring it in for me, you know, I'm not saying that. But God really used and kind of worked in such a way that he was there and I was under him for, you know, I guess it was 3 years, 2 years, 3 years. And really just grew a ton under him.
Yeah. So what, after graduating Calvary, so where'd you go?
So I actually didn't graduate until later.
Yeah.
So I graduated in 6 years, and a half years.
Okay.
So what happened in 2019, so this is 2019. So this is end of my fifth year in college. I got a job offer to coach at Spurgeon. So to start the program at Spurgeon. And so at that point I didn't even have my bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
At that point, I was working in missions at Calvary. I was their SID. I was assistant coach. I was the athletic recruiter and doing all this stuff. And really, I loved it. It was crazy. It was a ton of work, but really loved that. Didn't love the admission side as much, but it was the, you know, paid the bills. But had a connection with a guy at my church who worked at Midwestern Seminary, and he knew the guy that was in charge of the college. And so, kind of just had me apply and for some reason got hired there when I was 23.
Yeah. That's young.
Yeah. But
you had tons of years of experience of being assistant, student assistant, et cetera.
Yeah. So I had some experience for sure as an assistant.
Yeah.
And, you know, Coach Sanders, what he's really good at is helping his assistants think through things with it as they would do them as head coach. And
yeah.
So it was good. And so what I did there, you know, 3 years there, got hired, I think, in March of 2019, got married in May, and then moved up there, I think, that September or something.
Okay.
Moved up
on campus. And you helped grow the program of Spurgeon, which has been growing since and is continuing to.
So they,
they'll be a powerhouse soon.
They are. Sadly. Yeah, 100%.
To us, sadly for us. Great for them, though.
But we'll get there, too.
Hey.
Okay. But yeah, no, it was an incredible experience of being in a different environment, being in a much bigger environment, mm-hmm. Working for different people.
Yeah.
And really just a lot of that was administrative. So just building out how a school would go from zero intercollegiate athletics to one intercollegiate athletic team, you know, and there's just, they're, you know, doing that and working through that process. There was so much that you just don't think about, right?
Yeah.
You don't think about, you know, where do we get water coolers from, right? It's just like,
but where are they?
Little things like that, yeah. And so just, it was a great experience. Was there for 3 years. Was able to cut my teeth in a lot of ways.
What'd you say, cut your what?
Cut your teeth.
Cut your teeth. I've never heard
really?
That.
Really?
Cut your teeth.
That's definitely a saying, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I'm not sure doubting it. I don't know it.
Cut my teeth, but yeah.
Difficult.
I just don't know. I'm curious where that phrase comes from.
Yeah, but I don't know either.
But yeah, so it was there. COVID was the second year I was there.
Ooh,
and so it was crazy. It was a wild experience. Really stretched me a ton.
Yeah.
But it was very temporal for what we wanted and for what our family was looking for. And so, thankfully, long story short, came here, end up here at Emmaus.
Yeah.
This has been just as crazy.
Yeah.
It's been probably more work than I've ever done. But we're so grateful for even, you know, looking back and seeing how God has taken care of us, my wife and, you know, Tasha and I, and now Barrett, and how he's been sustaining us and bringing people along with us and really just being patient with us too. Mm-hmm. But this has been a great experience for us. And what we're learning now is really just, you know, how we're going to build this program in a way that's successful in the Emmaus way.
Yeah.
Right. Which is going to be different than anywhere else.
Yeah.
Right?
And how is that different?
You know this. Emmaus is very unique. Yeah. Right? It's a very unique school in good ways, right? Not in bad ways, but in good ways. And so what you have to do, what I'm realizing, what we're learning now, and kind of knew this, but really I think it's kind of coming into focus more now, is that there is really probably one way, and I don't even know necessarily what it is to a T yet, but there's one way to do this that creates genuine discipleship and creates genuine higher purpose basketball while being successful at Emmaus.
Yeah.
Right? Because we could create a program that could be, you know, it's formatted in a way that could be successful maybe, you know, at a Calvary or at a wherever, right? Or at a, wherever, insert X school, right? Mm-hmm. But because Emmaus is such a different environment, it has to be this way. And so I think what we're kind of leaning towards and what we're learning now, I even had this conversation with Coach McHugh yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one of the biggest parts of that is recruiting a population that wants to invest in the school.
Yeah.
And not recruiting a population of student athletes that want to kind of do their own thing and create their own culture, but really recruiting a population of student athletes, basketball players, which is hard because basketball players are kind of different sometimes, but that want to be here and that want to invest in the campus and invest in the student body. I think that's like our path to success.
Yeah.
And so doing that, you know, that repays them. I think Landon actually made the comment a couple of weeks ago, and I thought it was Landon Jacobus.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really well thought out statement of just like, you at Emmaus as a student, you get back what you put in, like multiple times what you put in, right? Probably more than, and that's true more than I think anywhere else I've ever seen. Mm. And so like that idea, and I was really grateful for him for saying that. He said that to a recruit. Like that's, I think that's it. I think that almost that idea is like the driving force behind even how we recruit and what we're recruiting to and how we're going to build this program to achieve, you know, at you know, we use that phrase like eternal success, right? That's what we really want. But even short-term success in the
court. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love how you're all that was amazing. And especially where what stands out is that you're saying program. Mm-hmm. Program, creating a program. And, you know, Matt and I and, you know, lots of other guests that we've had on here, we always talk about the direction we're going as Mayus, the growth of our athletic department. But I love, and I would say this for the rest of the departments as well, or I guess the sports, the coaches, is building a program that is sharpened, that is created for those type of students that want to come in here and invest, exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. And they're hard to find. And the thing is, it's just awesome that you're creating a program, not just a team, not just a season.
Yeah.
You're not just getting people to come in for a season.
Yeah.
Or come in just to like fill in a team for a 1 year Bible or just because they want to play and then go somewhere else, but a program that is sustainable year in and year out for years to come.
100%.
But to build that, you need those players. So what is the mindset, dude? Like, you're talking about recruiting for the people that want to put in so they get five times put back or brought back out to them, right?
Yeah.
How do you find them? What is the thought? Like, how do you recruit for those players?
A ton of work.
Oh, I'm sure.
A ton of work. Probably more travel than I probably should do. For my marriage sake, but no, Tasha's incredible. But I mean, so a lot of it starts with starting with a big pool of guys, and then filtering out very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So starting with a big group, asking, you know, very targeted questions. So we have a couple of forms that we filter guys through. Like right now we've throughout this, I think, you know, the last probably calendar year, we've started probably almost 300 guys that we've at least filtered through our filter. And really just, targeting like some key things, right? So like, church involvement, right? So if a guy, has, you know, a solid church that they put on their form, they fill it out with their address or the church's address and the pastor's name, that shows me, right, that they actually are involved in their church. They know the pastor's name. They can find the address on Google or whatever it is. But like even that. And so like, that's like a big thing for me is like from the initial contact, the recruiting form, are they in a church? And if they are in a church and they're involved, like there's a pretty good shot that they'll do well here. But then a lot of that, you know, after that, just filtering and filtering personality, right. A lot of this is recruiting guys that fit how I coach.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of selfish, but it's actually a true thing, right?
Yeah.
We need guys that can put up with sarcasm, can put up with very dry humor, and can put up with, you know, all these things, who can put up with even a lot of responsibility on them. And so like we even filter through, you know, can I get along with this guy?
Yeah. Right?
Can we actually have a good working relationship?
Which is important.
Which is super important.
I feel like that's something that a lot of teams, coaches, don't utilize, don't think about as much. So that's helpful. That's really awesome.
Yeah. I think it is because you obviously, if you want a guy that you're going to coach for 4 years, you need to have some commonality. You need to have some, just ability to connect.
And that's going to help you and Matt. And even if the other coaches are doing this similar, finding these people that are, willing to be discipled,
100%.
You know?
Yeah. And they're hungry.
I mean, that's the thing is like, you want to find, this is going to be funny. You want to find fat people. You want to find faithful, available, teachable.
Yeah, that's good. Right? I might use that.
There you go. You want them to be fat, you know, you want them to be like faithful that. Faithful that they want to learn, faithful in their relationship with the Lord. And they're able to be teachable. So they're not stubborn. 100%. You know, they have meekness in their life, right?
Yeah.
They're showing meekness and then that they're available. That's really able good. To wake up at 5 a.m. before practice to go on a walk with you or to get into the Word of God or to go to practice, right? So. Yeah.
Yes, that's good. I like that. I might use it actually.
There you go.
Yeah, I might use that.
Yes.
But no, I mean, it's a ton of work. It's a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, a lot of texts, all that stuff. You just really, I think, and we have to, again, you have to recruit to Emmaus. You have to find out how Emmaus works, how Emmaus looks, how students here, or, you know, even analyzing like students here that are successful and that thrive, like what are those students and then trying to find more of them. all the while, right, we want good basketball players, right?
Yeah.
We really do. We want to play good basketball. Yeah. We want to be a competitive team. And so it's a tall order, and it's not, you know, I'm not complaining about it in any respect. Like, it just, it's what it is and it's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it really just, it kind of just, it just comes down to, you know, putting your work pants on and just going to work.
And I appreciate this a lot, hearing that, because over the years, me being here for 8 years, 8 years come August.
Wow.
Don't.
That's a long time.
Just don't.
Don't do it?
No, it's great. I always respond this way only because my heart is overseas to the unreached. Yeah. And
I heard that the other day.
Thank you.
When you were yelling.
Oh, yeah. I was yelling at everyone.
Yelling at my recruits.
Thank you. Hopefully they liked it. Some of them talked to me afterwards. I preached in a Focus Chapel here for the men at Emmaus, the boys.
On our visit day.
I was talking to them. I mentioned it towards the end of the unreached. So either way, that's where that expression comes from.
Different podcast.
Yeah. Different. Concerning him. Shout out. You know, go look them up. where was I?
I don't remember.
Yeah. I don't either. I did, but I didn't. So I appreciate this a lot. You're one of the first coaches that I've heard speak on this topic. Maybe the other ones have had the same mentality, but of coming into Emmaus and not trying to change Emmaus to fit your program, not trying to change Emmaus to fit your recruits, but to make sure that the people, the students, the recruits you get fit Emmaus well, and to create a program that's going to last and be sustainable for years to come, bringing in those students, those athletes that have the character, have the skill, they're able to pour into the community.
Absolutely.
And so I really appreciate that you've been able to take a step back, and this is only your second year here, right? And be able to understand and see this already so soon, so quickly of knowing what you have to do to build a program here at Emmaus. Yeah. So,
And that's one of the things that really was appealing to us as we were, you know, looking at the job was actually interviewing with the group of coaches and hearing and seeing the unity on all these fronts and seeing that, you know, every sport is essentially recruiting the same idea and the same thing. And that really is key, right? If you want to think an individual program identity, right? And you want an identity within your program, and we're working on that too. But really that identity actually comes under the umbrella of Emmaus Athletics, right? And what does Emmaus Athletics stands for? And there is incredible unity on all those fronts that will build and is building, you know, really long-term success in every facet, right? Not just competitively, because that's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. I really do think it's going to happen, and we want it to happen. But that's not the primary goal, right? That's not the, you know, we're not, our goal is not necessarily to even win, right? Winning is a byproduct. Winning is a result of consistently doing the right things.
Yeah.
In the process of getting to that point and even getting to that point, being at that point, is when the real growth happens and the real transformation happens of character and of your heart and of your soul. And that's really what, I don't know why I go on this tangent, but that's
no, this what is doing. What it's for. This
that's
is
what
your,
we, that's what this podcast is about.
Yeah, go on tangents. Usually Matt's been going on tangents a lot lately.
He does, I know.
He's normally, like, when we first started doing this, the guy was like pretty quiet, but recently we've been, I guess, touching on a lot of things that's been on his heart and mind, and he just he just takes my mic and just he
talks into both of them.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, man, you're a soapbox, right? I'm just here. Was really cool hearing your story, getting to know you more, Coach Phillip. I feel like the Lord has molded you and has sharpened you for this step in life, giving you that time at Calvary to really find your identity, to be discipled, to be poured into and mentored, to have that aspect of coaching, and then go into Spurgeon and grow a program, start a program, work with a team to bring in athletes, find those filters, right? Because Spurgeon is also another school that wants solid Christian character, but also having that administrative side of growing a program, starting it. So those two aspects, and to come into Emmaus, connecting them of finding students, young recruits that were where you were at in life to help be a mentor for them, but having that discipleship aspect that you had from Calvary and bring into what you learned from Spurgeon of growing a program. So you got best of both worlds right
best
here.
Of
and,
both worlds. That's right.
I find that super unique and awesome. And it just,
I don't know if it's that unique, but
I know, but it's unique only because
maybe
you look, it points everything back to the Lord and his plan for you and his guidance and to you, in your life, which is awesome. We're gonna cut it here, but you gotta tell them why. Why should these recruits? Why should these families who are listening, friends of Emmaus alum, tell their cousins, tell their siblings, tell their kids, neighbors, everyone about Emmaus Athletics?
This is an X's and O's podcast. We're talking about basketball.
We are
not today.
What?
Basketball. They were talking about basketball.
Oh, you want to talk about?
No, that's right.
We are.
We'll go into that.
Oh yeah.
Maybe that's the next podcast.
Well, you gotta leave soon.
I do have to leave soon.
We can do X's and O's next time. We were gonna talk about X's and O's and talk about that's formations, right. learning about it. We talked more about just you and your story and the program, which is good.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, we'll
next
get you this summer. We got a whole summer.
A banger. Yeah.
We'll straight up just talk about that. Either way, right now.
Yeah.
100%. Coach Parker, tell the listeners why they should come. Filter through the program and be someone that wants to come to Emmaus to pour into this school and be poured into.
Yeah. So I think what we're trying to do, which again, what we're doing as a program is under the umbrella of the school and the umbrella of what athletics exists for. But we're really about the idea of playing for higher purpose.
Yeah.
In a very real, true to life way. Not in a way that spiritualizes, quote unquote, unspiritual things, right? Everything is spiritual, right? To an extent. I think that's true. I think spiritual.
I think everything is. Everyone's like, don't over spiritualize it. Come on.
Yeah.
Like,
so actually, the reality is when you do that, you actually under spiritualize it.
Exactly.
Right. So one of the things that I've been really, throughout the years, I've been really convicted of it, is just the idea of everything we do, right? Not to the glory of God, right? That's that. But really, God wants to be involved, and God is involved in everything we do, right? Mm-hmm. Every job, right? If I'm a janitor, God cares about my work, right? If I'm a president of a college, God cares about my work.
Yeah.
And so God is not like above little things. He's not disinterested in little things. And so we want to be faithful in those little things.
Yeah.
And do things well in those little things. And so basketball isn't a little thing. Basketball's a big thing. But we want to be a program that in a very real life way plays for higher purpose. And so kind of where we are is we're trying to develop a program that pictures life and pictures the Christian life and that we can be, we can live together, right, as coaches and players in a way that as you're reading, right, 1 Corinthians 9 about running a race to win, right?
Yeah.
There's a reason Paul uses the metaphor of a sport, of running, because it's a great metaphor for the pursuit of holiness, right, the pursuit of Christ. And so we want to be a program that when people see us, like, that's what their mind is drawn back to, of like, my life and my interaction with my church should actually be a reflection of like how they're playing basketball.
Yeah.
How they're playing basketball and how they love each other and they fight for each other and they're sacrificial and they're how these guys are working hard, like working really hard for a common purpose. That's how the church should look, right? The church should be as unified and as tight urgent as we are as we're playing and practicing. And so that's really our heart. And we're not saying, we're going to change the world. We're not saying we're going to change college basketball. We're not saying, this is the greatest thing ever. And, we're not that, right. We're more than anything. What's going to be transformed is my heart. Mm-hmm. and hopefully the hearts of the guys that we coach and the guys in our program, to see that really everything, everything we do, really should have is in the light of eternity.
Yeah.
Right. me, you know, cleaning my office, right? I need to do that with an eternal perspective, and right, everything with your family and your marriage and classes, right? Everything. There's nothing we're doing that is in that is outside of this eternal perspective, and so we want to teach that through basketball. And it's the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah, right?
Basketball is fairly easy, but living this life and being a program that actually teaches this and just really has that perspective is hard, but that's what we want to do.
Yeah.
And so we think that's our formula. That's our formula for eternal success. But we think it's actually a great formula for even being successful on the court, because a unified group is always going to be really good.
Yeah.
And so that's our hope and that's our goal. And you know, it's not in a cheesy way. It's not in a, mm-mm. You know, it's not in a, we have to, you know, infuse, right, what we're doing with scripture. It's just, no, like actually, if we're Christians and we're spiritual beings, it is going to be infused. That's what we do, right? And so we think that's life. We think it's how God wants us to live, in a very grace-filled way, in a very purposeful way. And so we just want to learn and grow together in that together as a program.
No, that's beautiful. It's poetic. It's artistic, you know?
Thank you.
And it's true.
Thank you.
And if you take that, put it into the church life and our everyday life, like cleaning your office, et cetera.
Which I should go do, by the way.
Yeah, you should. I looked.
I got shirts everywhere. I actually have higher purpose shirts.
Higher purpose.
Did you
shirts?
Know that? Did you see those?
No, yeah. I didn't look in your office. It's too far.
Matthew.
It's like I got to go past.
That's true.
Like our closets. I can't do it. It's too much.
That's right. But anyways, no, we even got higher purpose shirts because that's what we're about, man.
No, I love that.
That's what we're doing.
I love that. That sounds like a program that is worth investing in, worth in coming to. And what we always say. You know, come here, invest, be something, create a legacy, create a program, be part of something.
Absolutely.
And have your name edged into it, you know, and
be
a name. Be a name more than a person, and you'll be a part of it. Like, you're
That's
not
it.
Just be someone who is a body on the bench. You'll be a part of it 100%. If you come here. Well, Coach Parker, we enjoyed having you on. That's next time, we will do X and O's, okay? Right, I promise you. I did tell we were going to do X and O's, but today, I just wanted to get to
this
know
is
you.
Better.
I Probably want to get
better.
To know you, man. This is good, all right?
I enjoyed it. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do.
Hey.
You do good stuff.
I try. I really do.
You do.
But thank you for being on. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for just taking your time out in the day, tuning in here. All your subs, all your likes, all your views mean a lot to myself and Matt. We don't get nothing for this. We just get to talk about sports. But we do appreciate that we can give back to you guys and let you know a little bit more about Emmaus Athletics and get a good view, a good look into the basketball program with Coach Parker here, as well as the rest of our sports when we have guests on and what we can bring to you with updates and recaps of games. So we appreciate all of you, all you listeners, and continue to tune in to In the Nest. We might have an episode next week. I don't know. We haven't gone over the summer schedule, but sports are done. So we are looking forward to possibly doing some more interviews or taking a break over the summer. We'll get back to you more about that in the coming weeks. But besides that, thank you, everyone, for listening. And do you know Matt's line?
No, I don't.
I'll just do it. It's a great day to be Eagle, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good night or day or morning.